Okay, we will do our best to continue keeping communication as often and as open as we can as we go through the next couple of weeks. Just one more piece that we need to share this morning. The elders have decided to call off small groups, at least for the time being. Again, kind of going a little bit with the try to keep the curve down a little bit. So we want to encourage you with that. And I don't know if you're like me, every time the phone rings and it's one of those robocalls, I find myself having a conversation with myself, and that's kind of scary. So you may get a robocall with my voice this afternoon and again later on this week, but thank you for knowing what's going on with what we're doing in church. Second piece before we start with our sermon topic is the office is open all week. So if you have any special needs, we will be back to full staff. Lindsay is back from vacation. If you notice, if you could count the mistakes, just tell Lindsay, don't tell Michael and I. But it's great to have Lindsay back in the office, and we will be ready to do whatever it is you need. So if you need groceries, if you need something picked up at the drugstore, if you need a roll of toilet paper, I'm going to have Judy order some more. Because the only place to get it now is from Star Janitorial in town, and we've got a connection. So if you get desperate for anything, you call us, and we will see if we can either find it or get it to you. And we've got a group ready to deliver stuff. And so we're here to serve you in whatever way we can. And it's been a privilege the last couple of crazy weeks to be part of this group watching our people serve. All right, we've been in the midst of a study from the Gospel of Luke. And when we started talking about this study a couple of months ago, one of the passages I had thought that'd be fun to co-preach is the one we're going to do this morning. But it's a story that has haunted me all week. And I'm just going to confess right at the beginning that I have been preaching this sermon to me all week long. Because too often I am one of the characters in the story. The character that I'm going to be giving is often the character that I most look like. And I hope by the end of this sermon, if you are that character, maybe there'll be some changes in your life. And then Michael will come bring us the good news from the second character. But Jesus tells a story in Luke 18 that goes like this. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. For I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay, maybe you're like me and that's a little bit of a haunting story. But maybe when you read that story, you find yourself in the character of the Pharisee just a little bit too often. So I'm starting to prepare this lesson, and one of the devos that we're going to do this week on Facebook is I love the Psalms, and for me, I try to read five Psalms every day, and it just happens that Psalm 26 was one of the Psalms on my Monday calendar. And the verse 2 reads like this, "Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind." And so here I was trying to write this sermon on how do I not be a Pharisee and how do I not act like this guy in the story, this unfortunate Pharisee that is far too prevalent in my own life and in the life of 21st century America. How do I figure out how not to be this character? And then the psalmist says, "Try me and tests my heart and my mind." So I want to ask you this morning to let God test your heart as well as your mind. Because one of the things that jumps out of me about this story is the Pharisee has got all the mind stuff right for the most part. He's got everything lined up and every dot is in its place and every T is crossed. And he's going down just like he's supposed to go down. But there's something else that's missing. And I hope maybe I can preach to myself first and then preach to you second about lessons we might learn from an unfortunate Pharisee. Because I think if we look at this story right, the Pharisee is indeed the unfortunate character in this story. And so the first thing that jumps out about this unfortunate Pharisee is that God wants to bring humility. Verse 9, it was interesting that Jesus is teaching. He's going to use this parable, but this parable is pretty accurate, I'm guessing. And he's looking out at his world, and he's got those that kind of walk around in their jackets. And I didn't intend to wear a jacket this morning, but I thought I need to wear it for this point only. There are those who are walking around in their jacket, and they're going like this. You ever seen preachers do that? The minute the preacher pulls down his thing, he's in preacher mode. He's got his Bible in his pocket, and he's got his jacket tied around him, and he's ready to start telling people what to do. And I think that's this Pharisee. The text says that he is confident in his own righteousness. And that line is pretty scary to me. Because there are times I walk around kind of like the Pharisee does. And I walk around, I did it Saturday. Not this Saturday, but the Saturday before. I walked around Sam's. And I said, God, I'm glad I'm not like them. Preacher needs to preach to himself first. That sometimes we walk around a world and we look at ourselves and we look at our morality and we look at our own self-righteousness. And if I'm talking to myself, I say, I preach a couple sermons a week and I study my Bible all day long and I go visit sick and I give as much as I can and I do this and I do this and I do this and I start listing all of my 1,000 accomplishments and I say, God is lucky to have me, but I'm glad I'm not that person. And the minute I have stepped into those shoes, I have looked just like this unfortunate Pharisee. And far too often I resemble him more than I resemble the one who boldly is just proclaiming, please forgive. And so maybe I need to be reminded of 1 Peter 5 verse 6 where Peter says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Okay, before our kind of shutdown happened, not just our whole community is kind of shut down, but I was sitting at Starbucks and I was about to meet a family to talk about some stuff going on in their life. And so I'm sitting there and another preacher from town walks by and he is in full Pharisee mode. And he sits down and he sits and he says, you know that lady that's working back there behind the bar? You ought to know what she's doing. And somebody else walks in and they cross their arms and they start saying things that a preacher really shouldn't say. And I felt like I was sitting with a Pharisee and I needed to go sit with that sinner. And I needed to go say, who cares what they're doing in their life? They need Jesus just like you do and just like I do. And so I started telling him about the sermon I intended to preach and I practiced this on him quietly and I hope he got the point. Because there's this tendency as we try to be God's people, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be moral, and I'm not saying we shouldn't strive to live the best life in Jesus that we should, but we better be careful that we don't dislocate a shoulder patting ourselves on the back. Because Jesus says, and Peter says, the one who's going to be humbled is going to eventually be exalted, not by themselves, but by the one who created us. A second thing that jumps out about this unfortunate Pharisee is how do we see the world around us? Okay, Jesus walked around the world differently than the Pharisee did. He walked around the world with eyes wide open. The Pharisee walked around with blinders on. See, the Pharisee walked around the world saying, here's what I'm going to pay attention to. I'm going to pay attention to the ones who are just like me. And I'm going to pay attention to the ones who've got it all together. And I'm going to pay attention to the ones that are morally right. And I'm going to pay attention to the ones who are tithing and who are fasting. And I'm going to pay attention to those who fit into my box. But Jesus said, forget about the box. And if there's one thing I could try to convince us all to do is to forget about the box. Because part of being a Pharisee is we look at those just like us and say, fabulous, we got them lined up. But what the world needs is God's people with eyes wide open. The world needs the repentant. The world needs those who have realized that it's not about them and it's about their great God. The world needs those who are willing to stand up on a pulpit and not pat themselves on the back, but to say, here is the God that we serve. I love the line from Hosea 6. Hosea says, quoting God, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Okay, let me illustrate it this way. When I am out with people who are unchurched, they could care less about what I put in a collection plate. They could care less that I've been married 27 years. I hope it's 27. They could care less about my... What they care about is, do I have a heart for them? And am I really concerned about their souls? And am I really reflecting the love of God? Not this rigidness that says, I'm better than you, but a heart that says, none of us are good enough, but our God is. And so I need to walk around the world with my eyes wide open. Okay, I have a couple of friends. Some of them go to church here. That sounded bad. I have two friends and they both go to church here. I have many friends that are in law enforcement. Some of them go to church here. I'll get this illustration right. And they like to, when I go out to a restaurant with these friends, they have to sit in the corner of the room. And they have to be able to see. So if this is our restaurant, which we're not allowed to go to, those guys would sit right here so they could see all of you. And what's funny is two out of three of them wear sunglasses, even in the restaurant. So they got their sunglasses on, and they're paying attention to everything going on. I mean, they're watching. They're just making sure some bad guy doesn't come in and do something they shouldn't do. And they are aware of everything in their surroundings. Their eyes are wide open. Folks, we need some wide open eyes the next few weeks and months. Because we're going to start walking out in a community that's going to be in a mess. And we're going to start seeing people who don't have enough groceries. And we're going to start seeing people who can't pay all the bills. And we're going to start seeing people that don't know if they'll have enough food for the rest of the week. And we're going to see parents kind of crazed because they don't know what to do with their kids. And we're going to see 1,000 things in the midst of a world that's gone just a little bit haywire. And I hope we've got our eyes open, ready to serve and ready to give a word and ready to give out whatever it is they might need, whether it's a roll of toilet paper or a bottle of water or if it's a good sandwich that came from a clean kitchen, to be ready to say to a world, here is what our God has to offer. So we've got to have our eyes wide open. But then the third thing is, this unfortunate Pharisee teaches me that I need a better definition of religion. See, my definition of religion is, put a good book in my hand, or the good book, and then I've got the good book in my hand, and I'm going to put it in an office that's in a good church, that's surrounded by good people, and that's doing the right things that we're supposed to do. And I need to go beyond that if I'm not going to be a Pharisee. Then I need to realize it's more than just spiritual discipline, that it's more than just an offering or tithe, that there has got to be a heart dedicated to the cause of the gospel. My heart is always in Bible study. My heart is always in ministering to you. You could call me in the middle of the night and say, we are out of A, B, C, or D. And if you really, really needed it right then, I would get out of bed, put on a pair of jeans, and I'd be at your house. But how am I to the rest of the world? See, you guys are taken care of. You guys are right with God. You guys are going the right direction. What about the opportunity to go to somebody who doesn't know Jesus and say, let me give you what you need? See, the heart of the matter is not just us dealing with each other. It's Pharisaical to say our life is confined in these 5 or 6 walls that we live in on a Sunday morning. This is just a meeting place where we go to be everything else out there. And when we confine everything to this place, we've turned into the character Jesus makes fun of. So I think we got to get to the heart of the matter. So David writes this. I don't know if David would have considered himself a Pharisee. He might have had some Pharisaical actions. He probably thought he was pretty good with God, and he probably thought he was doing a good job running God's kingdom. But there's a moment in David's life when everything crashes around him, and he brings it on himself. And after he's brought this upon himself, and after Nathan the prophet has told him what he's done, David's going to write this psalm, and he gets toward the end of it, and he says this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, that needs to be my prayer. Not a prayer of, God, you're lucky to have me. God, you're lucky that I do and fill in all the blanks. But God needs to hear the prayer because it needs to come out of my lips, much like it comes out of the next character's lips. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Get me going and looking like the next character.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praises of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to the silence and foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set into place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. This had to be and ring in the ears of the tax collector. You see, he just heard somebody say, I'm not any good. I don't do the right things. I'm not where I should be in life. I don't do the things that he did. Maybe I'm not salvageable. Maybe I'm not able to be saved. Maybe I'm a lost cause. And I think this passage speaks loudly to the opposite. I think we hear in this passage words to the underdog soul. There and now. I think in this we hear that your value, who you are, is not determined by anybody else. Who you are is not based on whatever other people think of you. All right, I will mention something that happened to me just the other day. I'm walking into Target, and I'm going to Target to get something, not toilet paper. I always look, yes, because eventually it will become a need. But I walk in, and a lady walks out, and as I'm walking to the door, she stops me, and she says, hey, I just wanted you to know that on Wednesdays from 8 to 9, and I don't quote me on this, but Wednesdays from 8 to 9 is a time when they allow senior citizens into Target. And I'm just standing there having this first of a lifetime moment. And she says, and if you ask, they have in the back toilet paper and they will give you a package. I didn't know what to say, so I said, thank you. So that day, I was a senior citizen. I went and looked in the mirror. I counted wrinkles. I counted, well, I can't count my hair, but it's a little gray. Your value, is this working? Is this one on? Okay. Your value is not determined by what other people see in you. Because the Pharisee looked at the tax collector and then looked to God and said, whew. Glad I'm not like this guy. Glad I'm not like this guy. And so all of a sudden they begin to see themselves in a manner which wasn't right, in a manner which was dirty, in a manner which was unholy, in a manner which wasn't right. What this story tells us is that our value is not found in the eyes of other people. It also tells us that your looks or your abilities do not matter to God. We seem to think that it does. We seem to think that many times the ways that we look and how we present ourselves matter to God. And that you can't have that the things that you want if you don't look a certain way. I mean, you sit out there all day, every day on a Sunday and say, man, I wish I was as tall, dark, and handsome as the two preachers that we have. And you say, I can't measure up, right? We do that. We say, I'm not. Don't laugh at your dad like that. That is not very good. We don't think of ourselves because we don't have the right things, right? We don't sing as well. I don't sing like Wayne. I can't lead like Jacob. He's up here leading these songs. I'm like, I wish I had the courage to belt out a song like that. And so we begin to judge ourselves, and others judge because of who we are, because how great we are, or what we have in life. And truly the story in 1 Samuel hits hard. Israel had asked for a king. This was not God's idea for a king, because God knew that God was enough for Israel. But they had asked for a king, and God had given them a king, and it was time for another. And so they begin to look, and so as Samuel begins to see what king he would get, or what king would lead Israel next, he goes to Jesse, and he's looking at all the prospects, tall, dark, and handsome as they were. And in 2 Samuel chapter 16, starting in verse 6, the scriptures read this: "When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought," he's not in the original language, "the Lord, surely the Lord's anointing stands before me, before the Lord. He's here. This is it." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't consider his appearance or his height, for I rejected him. The Lord does not look at things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shema pass by. And Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has chosen none of these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all you have?" And if you've been in the Word a while, you know what he's about to do. "Are these all the sons you have?" I got one more. Forgot. He's in the back. He's in the stock room. He's out in the field. Let me bring him in. All right. "He's tending sheep," Samuel said. Samuel said, send for him. "We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome feature. This was no warrior. We took a vote and this guy didn't get it, because he wasn't a warrior to lead the nation of Israel. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint this one." You see, family, what the story in Luke tells us is that it's not in who we are that makes us who we are. Amen? It's not in our abilities. It's not how you look. God doesn't care what color hair you got, if you got hair or not, if you're young or if you're old or if you're male or if you're female. All are valuable to God. Everyone's important to God. And the story in Luke tells us that. And I think one of the greatest points or lessons or words that comes to the underdog is that what you do does not justify you. Here you had the Pharisee, fasted, gave a tenth twice, all right? Twice a week. Gave a tenth of everything he had. And all the tax collector did, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Who you are and what you do does not justify you. The Hebrew writer would say this in Hebrews chapter 10. "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship." All of the worship that you do, all of the sacrifices that you give, you cannot make yourself perfect. Otherwise, verse 2, "would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all. And would no longer have felt the guilt of their sins. But those sacrifices were an annual reminder of their sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Now, we don't see that today, all right? I mean, we don't have those kinds of sacrifices today when we worship God. But what he's telling you is how many times you come to church does not sanctify who you are. No matter how many times you pray, does not make you a better Christian. It does not make you right in the eyes of God. It cannot save you from the guilt of sin. That's not what does it. Then in verse 11, it will say day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, speaking of Jesus the Christ, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. You see, what you do cannot make you justified. It's not how many times you do this or that or that, but it's who you belong to. It's the mercy that comes from God. And oh, how we try over and over and over again. And we feel guilty because, God, I just didn't measure up this week. God, I didn't make it this week. I didn't get what I said I was going to do. You know, last week when I prayed, I was fully committed. And when Jacob sang the song, I surrender all, and I was going to do it, God, and then I didn't. Then we feel guilty and we beat ourselves up because I can't be who God wants me to be. Well, guess what? God didn't design it that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, family, whether you're here today, listening on the radio, or on FaceTime live with us, God made him to be sin so that we could become right with him. You're not saved because you're good. You're not saved because you did the right thing this week. You are saved because of Jesus Christ. Amen? You're saved because the blood flowed at Calvary. You're saved because you believe in Jesus Christ. It's not about us. And that's what the tax collector did. He said, have mercy on me, O God, a sinner. And Jesus said, that one right there, he is justified today. The words to the unfortunate, to the underdog, God save us from our sins. It's not in who you are. It's in who he is and what he did. Today, lean on that. And maybe as we're singing this song, maybe your prayer is the prayer of the tax collector. You see, that wasn't a big prayer, right? He forgot to talk about the sick, right? He forgot to talk about the missionaries. He forgot to talk about Gargant and Direct. He didn't say all that. Maybe your prayer simply is, have mercy on me, God, the sinner. So as we sing that, let that ring out. And let God fill your heart with his love and the justifying mercy that he gives to us. Today might be a day that we're still kind of filled with fear. What God has done is God has said, I'm with you and I will be with you. So as we sing this, whether you're at home, whether you're somewhere else, whether you're here, let us take joy and comfort in the God that gives peace. If we can pray with you, let's do that this morning. All right? We'll break the 6-foot rule, all right? We're breaking it anyways this morning. We'll break the 6-foot rule, and we'll surround you and we'll pray with you. Grab one of the elders, grab Doug or I afterwards, and let us pray over you. And anything you need, God will supply all of our needs. Let's stand and let's sing.